Amen. If you got your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to open those up to the book of Acts, chapter 28. Acts chapter 28, go to verse number 17. I'll be reading down to the end of the chapter here in just a few moments. So you can turn there or tap there, or if you have your pew Bible in front of you, that'd be on page 1114. Should make that convenient for you this morning. Acts 28, 17, I'll read down to 31. Here in just a few moments. Well, you find your way there. I just want to take a minute, just say a few things. First of all, thanks to Pastor Scott for extending the invitation to fill in his absence today. And grateful for that dear brother and his good work here in shepherding the flock of God here at Lone Oak First Baptist Church. And I know he could have asked a countless number of people to do this. They'd do a lot better job than I'm going to do. And so I'm privileged and honored to be standing here this morning. Also, along those same lines, just want to say that October has been designated, like I guess a lot of days in our year now. I don't know where it comes from, but this is a pretty special month because going back to some time, I don't know that either, but we started acknowledging Pastor Appreciation Month. Pastor Appreciation Month is just an opportunity for us to acknowledge those that have been called by God to shepherd us in our journey of life. And so I thought it would be appropriate for me to take a personal privilege at this moment to say we ought to extend a moment of appreciation to the pastors that God has called here to Lone Oak First Baptist Church to shepherd us for such a time as this. So would you join me in saying thank you to them? Praise the Lord. Amen. Appreciate their good work, their level of commitment and service, and think about the work of pastors. And so many pastors in my own personal life have just made an impact for the glory of God. I think about Brother Larry Davidson has made that kind of impact. See you back there, brother, in my life. And Brother Jason Porter and Brother Dan Summerlin made that kind of impact in my life. These pastors that are serving here have made that impact in my life. Pastor Steve Dighton, we lived in Kansas City area to go to seminary, made that kind of impact in my life. And they come alongside me and help me and encourage me. And we have those guys in our life. And so we just say and extend appreciation. I know you'll find many opportunities, and maybe the church will do that, I don't know, but many opportunities to do that throughout this month. Send them a text, pray for them, give them a call. Don't ask anything of them, just say thank you. That means the world. Don't dismiss those opportunities, seriously, to do that. Also, I just want to say on behalf of Dr. Todd Gray, our Executive Director and Treasurer of the Kentucky Baptist Convention, thank you for your partnership in the gospel. Well, what a joy it is to serve you and as a convention, a network of churches, 2,350 churches, 66 Baptist associations, 6 agencies and institutions, 1 mission board staff to serve you in advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ, both locally and globally. Of course, we do that in a multitude of ways, but one way that you hear about, and if you haven't heard about it, the cooperative program, the financial plan, financial fuel, if you will, that allows us to advance the gospel locally and globally, to equip and take care of the 3,000 plus missionaries that are serving right now overseas. Literally, us saying, stay there, do your work. We're going to provide your needs. And you're doing that, Lone Oak. And really, in many ways, you're leading the way, not only in this state, but in the nation, in cooperative program giving. And so your impact is making a difference. Allows us to do the work that we do as mission board staff. And so thank you for that. Disaster relief is funded. And we know all too well about that, especially even currently right now, and equipping those volunteers and leaders to do the work that they're doing. Seeing people get saved in the midst of very, very troubling times, disastrous times. And then, of course, equipping students that are going out through our Bible college at Clear Creek and 6 Southern Baptist seminaries. Cooperative program makes such a difference. And so I just want to take a moment now to hear something or to say something that you hear often. Thank you. Thank you for your sacrifice and commitment to extend the gospel to the ends of the earth. I want to speak to you on the subject entitled this morning, Unhindered, Resolving to Advance the Gospel. I want to read in Acts 28, starting in verse 17, read down to 31. I'll pray, and then we'll dive in this morning. The scripture says this. After 3 days, he called together the local leaders of the Jews, and when they had gathered, he said to them, "Brothers, though I had done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. When they examined me, they wished to set me at liberty because there was no reason for the death penalty in my case. But because the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, though I had no charge to bring against my nation. Well, that was verse 20. Just kind of make a mental note of this. For this reason, therefore, I have asked to see you and to speak with you, since it is because of the hope of Israel that I'm wearing this chain. It's fascinating that I'm wearing this chain. And they said to him, we have received no letters from Judea about you, and none of the brothers coming here has reported or spoken any evil about you, but we desire to hear from you what your views are. For with regard to this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. When they appointed a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in greater numbers. And boy, this will bless you. From morning until evening, he expounded to them. That'll make you appreciate a 30-minute sermon. Maybe even a 45-minute sermon. Amen? This is what they did. They testified the kingdom of God, and they're trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. And some of them were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved. And disagreeing among themselves, they departed after Paul had made one statement. The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet, go to this people and say, you will indeed hear but never understand. You will indeed see but never perceive. For this people's heart had grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. And boy, what a way to end the book of Acts. He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense, and he welcomed all who came to him. Of course, this is the Apostle Paul, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the gospel. The Lord literally knocks down walls so that it could be advanced. Father, I pray today that whatever obstacles we may be facing personally in our life, difficult circumstances that may seem to trip us up, Lord, make a way. Fill us with your Spirit. God, help us, I pray. You're our only hope in life and death. And God, we confess today, we need you. Lord, if there's one sitting amongst us that has never repented of their sins and turned, believed, I pray today would be the day of salvation. Today would experience hope, the hope of Jesus, even in the midst of brokenness. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. 16,000 people every day experience this. It's frustrating. It causes you to wonder if you may be losing your mind. It hinders you from making progress, and rarely it ever comes at a convenient time. This is when you lock your keys in your car or in your house. How many of you have ever had that happen before? Yeah, that's right. Some of you right now are poking your spouse, you know, it's their fault. We don't want to go there. That's for another day, maybe another time. Undoubtedly, it's frustrating when this happens. And these frustrating times can come in a multitude of ways in our life, can't they? They can come through a flat tire when you're on your way to get somewhere, probably 5 minutes late already. It could be that untimely doctor's appointment that you face. It could be a canceled flight. Or just simply not having eggs or milk in the refrigerator when you thought they were there. Never a convenient time. The question is, how do you handle yourself when these times happen? I don't ask that question for you to beat yourself up, because you're probably already doing that right now when you recall locking your keys in your house or your car. But it's a question that just to get us to ponder. How can you take moments of hindrance and turn them into being unhindered? To take the inconvenience in life and turn it into an opportunity. Acts 28, actually much of the book of Acts, is all about opposition, persecution, obstacles, difficult circumstances. In these last verses that we read here to close out this great book, we see that the Apostle Paul is chained to a prison guard in Rome, preaching the gospel. We see the final words here that he did this with all boldness and without hindrance. How? How, Paul, were you able to do that? We learn in our studies that the Apostle Paul, even in this time period, probably 62, 63 AD, wrote four of the epistles that we have in our Bibles: Philippians, Colossians, Ephesians, and Philemon. Maybe if you've read those epistles, you'll remember him often talking about being chained and being in chains. We find it right here. We understand as he wrote the last epistle that he would write 2 Timothy that even though he would be chained, the word of God is not chained. Because the gospel cannot be chained. The further question that we ask is, what has hindered you from sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ? Let's just cut right to the chase. What has hindered you from declaring Jesus Christ? Maybe you're doing that this morning, and this would only serve as an encouragement. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. This is an invitation to receive Jesus and experience the hope that literally sets you free. And for all the others, maybe, if I were to be frank, like myself, that find in my own life, there are hindrances that I face. Maybe it's fear of rejection. Maybe it's a sin that has beset you. Maybe it is apathy that you're dealing with. Maybe it is you're thinking, I just need more knowledge and then I'll share the gospel. Maybe corporately as a church when we have more finances, we'll be set free. We can do more with the gospel. Maybe you even say, I lack opportunity to share the gospel. Matt Smethurst, in a book he wrote, Before You Share Your Faith, said this: the greatest obstacle to evangelism is Christians who don't share the gospel. And could it be this morning that the biggest obstacle to evangelism, to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, to see the gospel advanced, is ourself? Here's the hope in the sermon we have today, that we're going to encounter principles that'll set us free, that will unhinder us so that we can faithfully share the gospel. Of course, we've got an incredible opportunity. Pastor Hank shared about it with a Hope for West Kentucky coming up, a student event on November the 6th, and then the larger event, if you will, on November the 10th, right down the road, to see the gospel preached, to see us bring our family and friends to that event. But the question is, why are we going to wait until then? Let's advance the gospel now. And whatever hindrances we're facing, may we face them just quite simply with obedience, just to be pleasing to God. I mean, who here doesn't want to see the sweet peace and hope that invaded the communities and towns in the New Testament? Who doesn't want to see that same hope and peace invade our communities, in our towns, in our family, in our neighborhoods? If we know that this hope comes from the gospel, why wouldn't we share it? Why don't we fight to become unhindered? I trust this morning that you desire obedience. I trust that the frustrations that you're encountering are something that you desire to be set free from. In many ways, it's a change of thinking, but in other ways, it's just a change of approach. It is a mind, it is a heart, and it is a feet kind of challenge. Today, we're going to discuss all these aspects, and ultimately, I pray that this will catapult to begin or renew your efforts in advancing the gospel to be unhindered. We're going to look, as your bulletin has stated, at three resolves that I think are imperative that we learn. Not only I think, that we see in the Apostle Paul's life. Three resolves for you to personally embrace to achieve the corporate mission of gospel advancement in our community and in our world. These last verses, the book of Acts, and of all that's happened, even in this book, we see that it's a testimony of perseverance and commitment, of love and power. It's a gentle reminder from the Apostle Paul in these closing verses that it indeed is the little steps that matter. It's all the conversations that add up. The influence does multiply. Christ honors his word. And no matter what difficult circumstance that may be hindering us, we need to use that as a platform to advance the gospel where we are. My purpose in preaching this morning is really for you to resolve to never live another day of your life without giving heavy thought and or action to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ, to set reminders on your phone, to write it down somewhere where you see, to ask, of course, obviously, the Holy Spirit to help you. Three resolves that are imperative for you to personally embrace and achieve the corporate mission of gospel advancement in our community and world. Number one, we see this. The first resolve is it's a call for you and I to live with gospel ambition. It's a call for you and I to live with gospel ambition. I kind of pause in verse number 20 because I think we see in verses 17 through 20 this reality from the Apostle Paul himself. Verse number 20 is significant. We'll get there in just a moment. Some of us wear the bracelets, you know. Years ago when I was a teenager, it was WWJD. I guess they still exist, right? What would Jesus do? That was the thing. That, I don't know if that evolved then or what, but now we've got these bracelets that we wear. Churches have them made to indicate, you know, their church mission. So they look at that and they'll remember to pray. Some bracelets actually, have gospel reminders on there, and you look at those or others look at those and you're able to share. Listen, moms and grandmas in the house, all right? Y'all have got the bracelets and the necklaces that's got the emblems on there, you know, the boys and the girls, you know what I'm saying? And you love to talk about those things. You love for people to ask you about those things because it communicates something that's important in your life. You're able to share about your children, your grandchildren. You're able to share about your church. You're able to share about the gospel. Verse number 20, the Apostle Paul had a chain. His chain communicated something. His chain indicates something. His chain ultimately indicates Christ. And we see this resolve in the Apostle Paul. It's this gospel ambition. When I say to live with gospel ambition, when I say to live, I mean for you presently right now where you are to examine your life as it is. When I say gospel ambition, I look to the Apostle Paul, to where he was living in Rome, in a prison. I look to the ambition that he had. Of course, ambition being the highest end. Not what he wishes, not what he maybe is dreaming about, but where he is. And in this ambition, his ambition was to declare the life-saving message of Jesus Christ to those he loved. And in verse number 20, look at your Bible. He says, "For the hope of Israel, I'm wearing this chain." Paul, in these verses 17 and following, he calls in the Jewish leaders to establish the story. He tells them that he was arrested in Jerusalem. He was handed over to the Roman government. They couldn't find any fault with him and wanted to release him, though the Jews protested him being released. But I believe there's something more profound outside of even that. We learn of the what from the Apostle Paul, but I think what is even more profound is the why. It's the why. Why was he where he was in Rome? Why did he appeal to Caesar? Why did he want to speak to the Jewish leaders? It was because, lean in, Lone Oak, the chain. For the hope of Israel, I'm wearing this chain. That's a good place to say wow and amen. Because here's the paradox. Even though Paul was in chains, he reveals that he's never been more free in all of his life. Even when it would have been easy, listen, church, even when it would have been easy for him to make an excuse or for him to declare defeat, to sit back and pout, Brother Jeff, for him to look for a way out and probably even find his way out here in this scenario, he found a way to get it done, to advance the gospel. Reminds me of something Dr. Adrian Rogers said. Was Dr. Rogers shared all kinds of profound sentences. The door to the room of opportunity swings on the hinges of opposition. The door to the room of opportunity swings on the hinges of opposition. This is a powerful reminder here that we don't fight for victory. Believers in Jesus Christ, we fight from victory. It's a powerful reminder that God has given us everything we currently need in Christ to faithfully live out the call to share Him with our family, our friends, and our neighbors. It's a powerful reminder that we don't need a change in circumstances, but rather more boldness to act where we are. It's a powerful reminder that there will probably never be a quote-unquote best time to advance the gospel. We'll always feel inadequate. We'll always feel we need to learn more. We'll always feel like we don't have enough strength. We'll always sense we need more money. It's a powerful reminder to steward your whole life. Yes, the good when it feels good, but also the bad and the ugly. To steward it for the glory of God. We're going to have an invitation here in just a little bit that's going to be an invitation for some of you perhaps here, some watching online, to repent of your sins and believe in Jesus Christ. For others, it is going to be a call for you to step into the story of Acts and live out this gospel advancement for such a time as this. I'm going to tell you what I struggle with before we move on. This first point is more heavy for anybody that's looking at time and wondering about the outline. It always happens that way. I don't know why. I promise you, I got way more to say than there's time. And we could have all day. That's why I like that morning until evening part. But anyways, that's not right now, right? Here's my tendency. The tendency in my life, church, if I'm going to be honest with you, everybody just look this way. My tendency in life is to want to change my circumstances or wait until my circumstances change and then I'll get involved so that I can share the gospel. However, biblically, we don't see this. And I'll be honest with you, I was thinking about this as I was preparing. I thought, is there anywhere in the Bible, maybe there is and somebody can help me, is there anywhere in the Bible where it just really was a convenient time? You know? And I was thinking, I'm like, you know, nothing comes to mind. Now, we could probably look at some places a little easier than others, right, Brother Jeff? But I mean, for the most part, advancing the gospel of the New Testament is going to be through persecution, through trial, through tribulation, through opposition. Never had a good time. And so what that teaches me, even in these final verses, is I think about living with a gospel ambition. It's this reality. Gospel advancement in my own personal life and the accountability that I take always happens in the midst of circumstances. Gospel ambition is about a perspective shift. Listen, church, we're going to move on. Not looking at your circumstances as an enemy. Even though there's pain and disruption that I don't even know about and I can't even fathom, only Jesus can in your life. But we don't look at circumstances as an enemy, but as a friend that introduces you to a multitude of others for the purpose of sharing the gospel as you walk along in this providential path that God has set you on in this life. For Paul, in this season, it was in Rome, in prison. That was his platform. And this may not challenge you, but church, I just want you to know, it challenges me. To confess my sins, to confess my inadequacy, to confess the lack of urgency at times in my life, to confess often the desire for a change in circumstances, waiting for a more opportune time when it feels better. Gospel ambition, here's what we learned about it. A few things we learned about gospel ambition. Number one, it always originates from a burden for people. It originates from a burden for people, but it's kept by a burden of purpose. We see that the Apostle Paul here in this passage of Scripture in verse number 20, he's wearing this chain for the hope of Israel. For the hope of Israel. His purpose here was a burden. It was a burden for people. McCracken County statistics tell us there are 67,875 people here. Glenmary Research tells us that there's 19,208 of those, 28.3% that'll be attending church on any given Sunday, which leaves us with 71.7% not attending church. It reminds me what Jesus said, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are white unto harvest. Church, this is a call for us to step into what God is doing in our life where we are right now. Will it be comfortable? Probably not, just to be honest with you. But it's a call of obedience to steward our life as God has given us, understanding that every good thing He gives to us is from Him, and He will redeem it for His purposes. We can trust Him. Amen. And the part of trusting Him is sharing the life, giving life-changing message of Himself. Of course, the events coming up in November on the 6th and the 10th are opportunities, and we steward that, and we want to invite, and we want to get involved on hanging door hangers and everything we could possibly do. But reality, we don't wait even until then. We get busy now. The purpose of the chain was for the glory of God. It was to share Jesus. So the levels of pain and transition, the difficulty, the unknown, the fears, the loss, the anxiety, the disappointments, the discouragement that you're facing and that I face, oftentimes are well beyond anything that we could ever handle, much less even fathom. It's these times that we steward for the glory of God, and we ask Him to give us strength to live for His glory, to live with gospel ambition. The second resolve is a resolve to practice gospel articulation. To practice gospel articulation, literally to share and declare the good news of Jesus Christ. If you look at verse number 23, you see that he expounded from morning until evening, and this is what he did. Notice in your scripture, look at your Bible in 23, the kingdom of God, he testified the kingdom of God, and he tried to convince them about Jesus from both the law of Moses and from the prophets. And some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved. This verse here, and when we think about sharing the good news, it's articulating it, verbally sharing Jesus with others around us. Here's what we see, our part. Our part is to be obedient. What does it look like to share Jesus with others? What does it look like to articulate the gospel? It looks like you taking your own personal testimony, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and stewarding that. It's often been said, if you know enough of the gospel to be saved, you know enough of the gospel to share with somebody else so that they can be saved. That is to say, your own personal testimony is powerful. And what you do with that is you declare the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you leave the results to God. Because what we see, that even as Paul shared with his chain, some were convinced, but others disbelieved. Paul's responsibility was to faithfully show his chain and declare Jesus. It's a call for you and I to try to answer the question, if somebody comes up to you and says, I want to be saved, what are you going to tell them? What are you going to tell them? If somebody today comes up at lunch and says to you, I want to be saved, because we see that's what happened here. People were coming to Paul. That's pretty incredible, isn't it? They were coming to Paul, and so what he did is he expounded. He talked about the law of Moses, the prophets. He declared Jesus. If somebody comes up to you and says, I want to be saved, what do you tell them? Now's the time to prepare, church. Write out a testimony, write out what you would say. You could use something as easy as this: God, man, Jesus, and response. God, man, Jesus, response. Talk about God's glory, talk about God's righteousness, talk about His perfection. Talk about man. What happened to man? Man disobeyed God. Man is sin. Here we see all the brokenness. Of course, Jesus. Man, highlight Jesus. You lift up Jesus. Death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus Christ. He took our place as a substitute on the cross, shedding His blood, rising from the grave. Then response, you invite them to Jesus. You invite them to put both feet on the Jesus path, to follow Jesus, to commit their life and their heart to Jesus Christ. You could use something like that as a mental aid to help you articulate the gospel. The Apostle Paul verbally shared Jesus. That ought to be a resolve in our life, to be unhindered. I shared this when we were visiting, maybe a couple months ago at this point, come to the church. I knew enough about the church to be real dangerous, right? I knew the A-wing. I walked in there quite a bit, and that was about it. So I told my wife and kids, I said, well, let's just go to the Connection Center. Let's go to the Welcome Center. That seems to be a good place to go. So we did like anybody else would do. Maybe you're a guest or visitor here, and you've done that as well. We went there. Listen, I was perfectly content. If somebody would just point me in the right direction, I'll figure it out. But the dear brother that was there that day did way more than that, above and beyond. He took us to where we needed to go. He took us to where we needed to go. Showed us the life group rooms, helped us to understand what we needed to do. He delivered exceptionally. In many ways, that's what you and I do with people. We take them where they are, and we walk with them on a journey to meet Jesus. We take the hand of God, and we take the hand of the sinner, and we reconcile and bring them together in and only through Jesus Christ. We're ambassadors for Christ, which means we share the message of the King that he is able to save, and he will save. The last resolve, quickly, is this. It's a resolve to embrace gospel assurances. It's a resolve to embrace the gospel assurances. The Apostle Paul in verse 25 on to the end of the chapter, he goes and takes them back to Isaiah chapter 6 and the latter part of that chapter, talking about the message going out to the Jews, and if they reject it, there's coming a point that it's going to go to the Gentiles. And he clearly establishes that in verse number 28. It will go to the Gentiles and they will listen. And so, of course, that was disrupting a lot of the Jews there. But there's great assurance that we find in the gospel. Again, overcoming obstacles time and time and time again. And we see this all the way through the book of Acts. Time and time again, we see it all throughout Scripture, time and time again, the gospel will prevail. People may let you down, things will let you down, but the gospel will prevail. We can embrace the gospel assurances, and that needs to be a resolve in our life to know that nothing will ever overcome the gospel. So we, with great confidence, can share the good news of Jesus Christ. We see time and again through the book of Acts, in Acts 6, verse number 7, that the disciples, they multiplied greatly. Acts 9, 31, they were edified and they multiplied. Acts 12, 24, the word of God grew and multiplied. Acts 16, verse number 5, the churches were strengthened in faith and increased in number daily. Acts 19, 20, the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. We see here the Apostle Paul himself was declaring Jesus with all boldness and without hindrance. He was without hindrance. It's this great reversal. We would look at Acts and we would look at the epistles and we would say, Paul, you're in a prison. How are you going to share the gospel? But what the Holy Spirit teaches us is that these circumstances are a platform for the gospel to go and advance. You may be hindered, but the gospel you share is not hindered. It goes forth. We learn in the book of Acts that nothing hinders the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can rest assured in a risen Savior and the message that he has given to us. No prison, no sickness, no life-threatening disasters, no vicious enemies, no unfavorable governments, no self-absorbed and arrogant leaders, no beatings, no threats, no disagreements among believers, no horrible theology, no magic, no mobs, no lies, no misunderstandings, no ignorance, no stubborn unbelief will ever stop the gospel from advancing. Church, we step into the glorious assurance that gives us confidence when we share the gospel. It goes beyond our difficult circumstances and prevails every single time. It's a call for us to trust it. It's a call for us to step into the race. I mentioned earlier, in closing, that the Apostle Paul wrote four of the epistles when he was in prison, this time in Rome. Wouldn't be his final time, be released. Be coming back about 5 or 6 years later. That's where he'd be martyred for his faith. Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon. If you've read Philemon, you'll remember that there was an individual by the name of Onesimus. He was a runaway slave from Philemon. Very unfavorable in Philemon's eyes. But while Paul was in prison in Acts 28, Onesimus had a life change experience with Jesus. And when Paul is writing this epistle to Philemon, you know what he says about Onesimus? Receive him as you would me. He once was unfavorable to you, but now he is favorable. Receive him as you would me. And church, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm thinking, you know what? I think there are a lot of people that are just so thankful that when Paul was in prison in Rome in Acts 28, he didn't sit and sour, but he was faithful in the moment. And one of those people is Onesimus. If we were to bring Onesimus back and say, Onesimus, what do you think about the Apostle Paul? I'd have to think that tears would run down his eyes. And Onesimus would probably say, I don't know, but he would probably say, when everybody else gave up on me, Onesimus or Paul did not. When I was at my bottom, when I was on the run, the Apostle Paul was quick in his chains to stand fast on the hope of Jesus. And I wonder, in this sanctuary here today, who is the Onesimus in your life? Who's the Onesimus in your life? That in the midst of what you see to be a hindrance is an opportunity for you to reach out to that Onesimus, to share Jesus and the hope of Jesus with them, and pray to that end that God would be quick to forgive them, or that they would be quick to trust in God to forgive them, understanding He would be quick to forgive, to trust in His mercy. I'd like to think that there are countless Onesimuses in my life that are waiting. And I wonder who that is in your life. As Pastor Mark and the team come, Kenny, maybe, whoever it is coming up here. If you're in this place this morning and you've never repented of your sins and placed your faith in Jesus Christ, this is your opportunity to repent and believe. Jesus Christ shed His blood for you, arose from the grave, and extends the invitation to you. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If that's the Spirit's call in your life, you come. Maybe you're in this place and a part of your story is you just haven't joined this church with. I can say this with a lot of confidence standing here right now. This is a good church to join. I did it last week. And maybe it's you stepping into the story to say, you know what, I'm not going to let any bad experience hinder me anymore. I'm all in. I want to be a part of this community of faith. Maybe it's to be baptized. You've never taken that first step of obedience after believing. Maybe it's just to come to pray for somebody that's lost in your life. Whatever it is, won't you come and be obedient, to be unhindered, to resolve to advance the gospel. Pray with me. Father, thank you for King Jesus. I pray today in Jesus' name that you would set us free. There'd be no more excuses. But right now, right where we are, we would be faithful. For the hope of Israel, Paul said he was wearing his chain. God help us. Holy Spirit, enable us to do that very reality in our life. To share where we are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.